Hello and welcome to another installment of the Casual Tracker. This is Scott. This is going to be my quick review of the new Ghostbusters movie, Frozen Empire. And going into it, I had the expectation that it's going to be similar in tone to Afterlife. Because even the tone from Afterlife to Ghostbusters 2 and Ghostbusters 1 wasn't exactly the same. Afterlife kind of expanded the world that we were living in to kind of include new characters that were going to follow, along with having a connection to what came before. So going in, I, of course, wasn't going in blind at all. I saw non-spoiler reviews. I saw people's reactions to the movie. And so me and my brother went yesterday night to go see it, and it was an enjoyable movie. It was good. Was it better than Afterlife? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of things that were stretched, and a lot of things that were like, oh, okay, that's gonna happen later, and they kept on kind of beating you over the head with it type deal. Like, we have this little orb thing, and this entire history of this orb, which is a lot of minutes of information on the orb. That was all good and dandy, but it kind of took a break from the forward momentum of the movie, I think. And it was jarring when we got to see Venkman for a little bit. He had been doing his thing, and then he was like, gone for a good long minute, and then just showed up at the firehouse in his outfit. I was like, where have you been, bud? Type deal. And of course, you have so many people in this movie, because you have the original Ghostbusters, you know, and then you have, you know, we have Winston and Ray. They are in a good fair chunk of the movie, especially Ray, Dan Aykroyd. And we also have the guy that was from the EPA in the first movie. He's back, which was fun. I think kind of like, I feel like the script needed to be just like a couple rewrites and maybe a little tightening down just a little bit. Now, I enjoy the movie. I was in an immense amount of pain while watching it, but I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed seeing what was happening. The only thing that irritated my soul was the thing that they were doing with Phoebe. I was like, what is this, where is this going? Because we got the gist of it, a ghost befriends her and whatever else, becomes her friend. We find out that new friend is abusing that friendship to make the big bad be able to communicate and then free himself to do what he's going to do. That's all fine. But the relationship between the ghost and Phoebe didn't really ring as like buddies. It seemed like if you had two more pages of dialogue, then it might have been a little bit more interesting of a scene between the two, because she went to go become a ghost to experience it, and then when she walked up, she's like, "Boo!" And if she had, instead of the girl saying, "I'm sorry," if you would have let that scene breathe a little bit, I'm curious where that would have gone, because we have this buildup. These two characters that are coming together under this crazy situation. It kind of reminded me of Lake House a little bit, with Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock going back and forth, being 2 years apart, and at the end, them coming together. And so this kind of reminded me of that. And granted, the actress is like playing 15, so you really couldn't do that. It'd be kind of weird, maybe. So because of that, they probably just shouldn't. They should have figured out a different way of expressing it, because when I was watching it, I was like, the chemistry between the two wasn't like a big sis, younger sis, or my best friend type deal. It felt like La Brea when the daughter went back in time and she went to this village or whatever, and she made a connection with this other girl, and they didn't do anything with it really, but they auditorily said, yeah, I'm feeling that kind of way about you type deal. And it kind of struck that vibe with me a little bit with Phoebe and with the ghost. But the ghost did play a role in the very end in helping to correct what happened. I mean, if anything, that plot line with Phoebe and the ghost is the basics of it, because everything else kind of led her to that situation that she's dealing with and the betrayal of the ghost that she thought that was her friend. And then that leads us to the conclusion of the movie when, I mean, a lot of people are talking about that one guy who's the fire person or whatever as this thing. To me, I felt like he was kind of, I was hoping for like a twist, like he was secretly playing a game and then he was the one that was possessed by the big bad. And then at the end, he would reveal himself and they would have to fight against him. I felt like he like felt kind of thrown in there a little bit. And the ending was kind of like, why is he even doing this? He doesn't know it's going to work. But there's a lot of nitpicking things that you could do to that. Throughout the movie, there is a lot of people in the movie, and a lot of it is a little bit fan servicey. But it was cool to see the one guy from Ghostbusters 1 who was at the museum back in the movie again. So it kind of related the movies from one to one, even though you had the original Ghostbusters in it. Still nice to feel the other characters that were part of the Ghostbusters movie outside of the principal cast. But I mean, it was fun. It was enjoyable. Would I sit down and watch it again? I'd probably watch Afterlife, if I'm being frank, because when we saw at the end of Afterlife, they were in New York City. You saw the firehouse. Like, oh, this is gonna be really good. This is gonna be interesting. They just too much. Like when you watched the original Ghostbusters, you had the jump scare girl in the library at the beginning. You had the stuff going up and whatever in the thing, and them coming in, and they didn't get to Slimer until 30 minutes into the movie. So before that, there wasn't a lot going on ghost-wise. It was all character. We were getting used to all of the Ghostbusters and how they got from A to B. And so when we actually got to the ghost busting, we already knew these characters. And in Afterlife, we basically got that sort of relationship with that. But this one here just felt like they were just piling on more and more and more and more stuff. And you guys, like, there's just too many people. They brought back people for bits and pieces that maybe didn't necessarily need to be there. Like Podcast and the girl, they're all fine. But didn't really need to be there per se. And then the guy working the thing that was always there, at the lab thing, he didn't really need to be there. And a lot of the stuff like just went on a little too long. Needed to be a little tightened down a little bit and not so spread out. Like when you're doing the reveal of the big bad, they broke it up into like I think 3 or 4 parts maybe, instead of just being brought into one space where we're learning about the big bad, and then that's where it stays, and then we move on as a reaction to that big bad. But all of that is not to say that this movie is not good. It is. It's fun being back in the world and seeing the Ecto-1, and you can see the firehouse in a lot more detail. We get to see all the different levels of it. We get to kind of, it feels more lived in. It's nice to when you're seeing the main floor. It's not like a complete redesign to where they just ignore it. It looks like the first Ghostbusters thing. So is it worth watching in the theater? Possibly. I would, if it wasn't Ghostbusters, if this is the first movie to come out and there was no mythology attached to it, I'd probably wait for DVD. I mean, I'm going to be paying the $15 anyway, so it's not like they're not going to get their money's worth on it. But I think that it was overly complicated for a quick resolve. The big bad was good. I liked how he couldn't communicate. He had to have a human to speak for him to do his thing, and then he chose Phoebe. But I'm like, why Phoebe? Why did it have to be her? It needed to be kind of, I connected that maybe it had something to do with her grandfather and his family line, but it wasn't exactly clear. I mean, they did a whole entire thing on his history, and they opened the movie really, really awesome with like the first Ghostbuster, so to say, tracking this thing down, which I thought was really cool. I'm like, oh, that's kind of a neat way to start the movie. And we came into the scene where we all saw people with the Ecto-1 going down and chasing that little snake thing going through the thing. I thought that was good. And it just it it took a minute to get where it was going because of all the different characters that you have going on and that probably weren't necessary to be there. Like the Ray stuff and then him getting this stuff for the other people to look at. I mean, that was a little much, I think. That probably wasn't necessary. It probably should have been like a bunch of people that think it is done and it always comes back as a negative reading, and then this guy comes in with this fear, and then he expects it not to work, and then it goes off the chart, buries the needle or whatever, and then he buys it from the guy, and that guy leaves knowing full well that he's like this possessed spirit or whatever, and then opening this allows him to connect with his power or something. I think that would have probably been a better way of executing that, because I mean, I like the character, I like the actor, I don't feel like it worked for what they were doing. Like, it's cool that you have the fire guy and he can whatever. But then that is very specific. Like, if there's any other big bad, it wouldn't have worked. So it was, like, tied together with that one big bad. And so, for that reason, it was kind of a little convenient, I think. But it's Ghostbusters. It felt like Ghostbusters. It had a lot of homages and a lot of callbacks, and some more video, like of the Statue of Liberty walking through in 1989. So they definitely made sure we all knew that it was canon to this thing. They didn't do what Halloween did, where they just went Halloween 1, and then all of a sudden the new reboot movies. We have Ghostbusters and Ghostbusters 2 firmly inside the world. I think if they make another Ghostbusters movie, they need to just make it like a smaller scale, but have a lot of character. And I think that character is what drives the movie, because the ghost-busting stuff, in any of the Ghostbusters movies, is kind of, eh, whatever. It's the relationship between the leads and how we relate to them. And then, secondly, what they're doing. So if your characters aren't, you know, interesting and fun to watch, and what they're doing isn't going to matter. And with this, there was just a lot. There was just so much. Like if you have a TV show and you have like 7 leads, they all have to have dialogue. So it means your story is not going to be smaller because everyone has to have a line inside of that scene. Whereas if you only had like 3 or 4 people, you would have a much quicker time to get to the plot rather than people having to have their contracted dialogue lines. Like if if Paul Rudd had 440 lines, and then Dan Aykroyd had 30 lines, and then Phoebe had 20 lines, and then so on and so forth, all of those lines have to be said before we get to the actual plot of the movie, which is why the plot of the movie was at the very end of the movie. I like the way it happened, like the water froze and the things came up and everything else, and then they had to come together and work, and they almost looked like they were gonna fail. I mean, it's good. It's a good movie. It's just, it took a minute to get there. That's pretty much what it boils down to, is because of all the different people, all the different point of views, it took a minute to get there. What did I have fun? Yeah. Do I regret watching it? Absolutely not. Is there a lot to talk about in the movie? Yeah, of course there is. The opening, what the old Ghostbusters back with them, and they relate back to those guys. And then the situation between Phoebe and the female ghost, relationship between Paul Rudd's character and the kid's mom, and then also the actual OG Ghostbusters and what they're doing now, how they relate to each other, and what Dan Aykroyd's character Ray was doing with the occult bookstore and all that stuff. That's all good. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to expand the canon on with relationship with the world of Ghostbusters. So there wasn't like that was a bad idea. It's more of a bad execution of a good idea. Like all they had to do was change that one character around, the fire guy, just a little bit of tweaking of that character, and it would have been fine. I mean, it felt like that was the case. Like a number of times you felt, oh, he's hiding something. But then it comes out, no, he wasn't hiding anything at all. He was just, I don't know, for lack of knowing what the word is, he just was different, put it that way. But I do hope they make a sequel. I just want it to be a more grounded sequel and less people inside of it, so that way you can actually enjoy what you're watching. Because I liked watching Afterlife and how they became Ghostbusters. That they became Ghostbusters should have been continued. Because if the issue with Phoebe being 15 and being a Ghostbuster was any kind of an issue, why wasn't it brought up well before that? That part kind of it was funny, you know. It was a nice scene for that respect. But the mayor would have known that she was 15-year-old. She was ghostbusting. It would have been an issue earlier. It wouldn't have only been then and right there. People would have seen her on the street being a Ghostbuster. Like, isn't she too young to be a Ghostbuster? And there would have been a whole thing. But that's how reality would have worked. But this is a movie. You gotta dispel disbelief a little bit, and then you'll have a good time, because it is a movie about ghosts after all. So if you're trying to say that it's not historically or accurately relatable to society, well, it's not meant to be, because it's a created work. It's an intellectual property. It's not real. It's inside of its own world, own realm, own laws. Like, just because it looks like our world doesn't mean it's our world. I mean, in our world, Bill Murray's an actor who's been in a bunch of movies. In the Ghostbusters world, his name is Peter Venkman, and he's not an actor, right? I will say, that reminded me of something that happened in the movie that I thought was pretty ingenious. They actually applied real-world Ghostbuster stuff into the fictional world. Like, they made all of the real-world, like, Ghostbusters commercials, the music video stuff, all that stuff, they made it inside of the canon of the movie, like it happened in the movie, which is kind of cool. I like that part. I think that might be my favorite bit of it, outside of the Phoebe stuff with the ghost, because that made you kind of curious of what was going on there, and what's going on with Phoebe, and how she relates to everyone, and who she sees herself with. And they kind of robbed us of that with the sudden gear shift into I'm sorry, and then boom, we do this thing. Like, they didn't everybody else got a little bit thing. We got to see Gruberson and then the girl be kind of coming closer, and him wanting to have more of a say in what's going on with the kids and everything else. You got to see all that stuff. So I think she should have got a little bit more time to explore that relationship she was having with that ghost. Maybe I'm way off base, and they were just completely platonically just friends, and she was just curious about her. But it didn't really strike me like that was the case here. It felt like had the writers given it five more pages before the whole I'm sorry thing, if they had wrote a scene where, like, they sat down with each other and, like, she said, you're the only one that gets me. You're the only one that I can connect with. And then finally has that moment of connection, and then they agree upon what's happening there. And then she feels guilty about what she did, and then she says, I'm sorry. And then we get into the whole chanting thing, and then her going back to her body, and then having to do all that stuff to do the thing. I think that would have been a better way to do it, because we were having like a build up a little bit, right? It was, they were meeting in the park, she went back to the park, and then she was called to the scene, and then she ran into the girl, and they talked again. And so there was a lot of build up with this relationship, with where kind of it was going. And then it wasn't until she came out of the thing and said, boo. I wonder if this is going to be one of those coming of age, fall in love type things, and the person you're falling in love with is not of this world, but another realm type thing. And then her going into that thing to separate her soul for 2 minutes from her body so she could experience that moment with her. I thought that would have been interesting, but they took that away by her going, I'm sorry, and then going into how the climax of the movie happened. Was the climax fast? Oh, yeah. It was super fast. It was like all this buildup for the last, like, hour and what? Hour 10? Hour 55 minutes, somewhere in there. A lot of build-up to this character. And then he got stopped by a dude that had no previous experience with what he was doing outside of making a candle go to the left or the right really fast. There wasn't like months in between that moment and this. That was days, if that. Maybe even the same day. That was basically within days, so to say. So the fact that he's able to slide down the pole and all of a sudden he can just harvest all this power and say, I can't hold it for much longer. And like, where did you get all this ability all of a sudden from this little thing where you just learned? Unless you were hiding it and you knew the whole time what you could do and you were just playing the long con, which if that was the case, then they should have shown it. Because you can leave a bunch of unanswered questions so that the audience can like kind of figure out, but you need to keep the principal understanding of the character to where we can understand it. The motivations you can debate for days, whatever, but what he actually knows and when he knew it and how he was able to do his powers, that's kind of important to the plot, because these Ghostbusters have been doing it for some time. And they had a whole other movie to learn everything that got him to this point. He just slid down a pole, dressed up in this thing, and then all of a sudden, fire. Because the ghost blew that her last match. Saving the day. So, I'm pretty sure as I sit and think, I'll get more appreciation for the movie. As I said, I was in a massive amount of pain while watching the movie. So quite a few times while I was watching it, I was taken out of it by that. And so it took me a minute to get back into it. But all in all, I would say it was a decent, good movie. It wasn't bad. It wasn't like, whoa, what were they thinking? This is horrendous. I'm going to walk out of this thing. It isn't like that at all. It's just there's so much going on. That the development and the execution was sloppy, and not because they were trying to make a quick movie, or they didn't care about the characters. There were just a lot of characters to juggle and a lot of things that you had to kind of piece together and figure out, because you have a script and then you have what you shoot. And then through editing and everything else like that, stuff might work. Stuff that sounds good on paper might not work or look good or be able to be done when you get the final thing. Or it doesn't work the narrative, or it needs to be cut for pacing, and then you cut this and you cut that, and then something doesn't make sense. So I would say it was a decent movie. It just has flaws in it, but there's a lot of positives too, and it doesn't outweigh the positives outweigh the negative. So there's a lot of negatives too, yeah, for sure. But there's a lot of positives too. There's a lot of stuff happening that you can talk about, and you can like kind of go down your own little rabbit hole about how the movie is. So that's gonna wrap up my review of the new Ghostbusters movie. Thank you.